I don't even know what week it is, but it's a long time into this session, and it's beginning to show. The Senate's planning to debate a couple of appropriations bills today, and Senate Republicans intend to offer amendments that will limit the size and scope of state government. As we have done all session long, Republicans have continued to work to offer amendments that would cut unnecessary spending and provide transparency to taxpayers of Iowa. Throughout the entire session, Democrats have rejected our responsible cost-saving amendments, and unfortunately, they may not take our amendments today. But if yesterday's Tea Party is any indication, Iowans are tired of the overspending and the attempts to constantly increase our taxes. They continue to take a head-in-the-sand approach to budgeting, and it is not fiscally responsible, and it will lead to unsustainable budgets for our state. Iowans want less spending, they want transparency and openness, and they want their elected officials to listen to them. Additionally, Senate Republicans have continued this week to ask Democrats to give the people of Iowa a chance to vote on an Iowa marriage amendment. Unfortunately, every one of our efforts has been obstructed by not just Senator Gronstall, but every Democrat in the Senate chamber. We have heard from tens of thousands of Iowans, and Senate Republicans are listening to the people of Iowa. They want a voice on this important issue, and Senate Republicans want to give them a vote.
House Democrats gave us their what appears to be the RIF proposal. I haven't personally had a chance to look at it yet, but my folks are going through that. We still have not seen the final standings proposal. But based on the numbers we're seeing there, the concerns that we had, it appears, are going to play out, and that is simply that when we're all said and done, despite the talk of all the cuts and the 6.5% and the, you know, the 1.5% across the board cut the governor did and so on and so forth, when we're done, fiscal year 10 is going to be more spending than the state has ever done in its entire history. The numbers appear that they're going to come out right about $6.3 billion of general fund or stimulus dollars coming in that are on general fund purposes. It does not include the bonding proposal, which of course would throw us over $7 billion. I just find it remarkable that while we're talking about tough times and reducing spending, that the truth of the matter when this all shakes out is that once again spending is going to go up in a dramatic fashion under this Democrat control and this governor's proposal. With regard to the bonding, briefly, they also gave us talking points today. I don't know that we've seen a bill, but they did give us talking points. Haven't been that through that in detail. I can tell you that it appears, once again, we go right back to what we talked about earlier in the session, and that is the bonding, what it's really about is providing opportunities to spend more general fund dollars. The last thing I'd mention is a lot of hubbub this week about federal deductibility, and it's on again, off again, from my perspective, when the governor tells me he's ready to veto it because it is a tax increase and he said it's the wrong time to do a tax increase, or when the speaker, the majority leader, tell me it's dead, it is one of their top agenda items, and we'll continue to address it that way. I think the fact that they're struggling getting it passed is definitely a credit to Iowans, and the fact that they have engaged so directly and adamantly on this question, not the least of which was evidenced by the Tea Party held here at the Capitol yesterday. Anyway, those are my comments. Any questions on that or anything else? Well, they seem to be a lot of the, maybe a couple of the labor issues, there seems to be all of a sudden a buzz again about, see if they can make one last scramble. I don't see great success on any of those things, but again, we're being vigilant and making sure we keep our vote count solid and things like that. I think, but that's what I sense. We've moved into that time period in the session where they're quick running through the agenda items to see if there's any of them that can get over the top. And then we're going to do a budget, and we're probably going to go home. It would appear from my conversations that we go home sometime next week. You know, at the earliest, probably the middle of the week, but maybe it drags into the last part of the week.
Do you support the changes to the sex offender registry law that are proposed?
We had a lengthy discussion on that yesterday. I have some members who are very strongly supportive of it. I have some who are strongly opposed. Right now, before we take the discussion to the next level where I actually start doing a hard vote count, we're seeing where the governor is going to be, if he's amenable to looking at anything, so on and so forth. What I have told the governor's office is, I know based on the conversation I had yesterday, is I'm not telling you I got 30 votes for it, okay? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But at a quarter of the caucus went out of their way, you know, 10 plus, to come tell me they didn't like the proposal. And so the signal I've sent to the governor's office this time is that this is a yellow light. I really believe that part of the problem here is there hadn't been enough sunshine on this bill. I mean, if the 2,000-foot rule doesn't work, and Iowans believe it doesn't work, then they should want us to address this, and we need to put some good sunshine on that. The idea appears to be to do that now, but with 1 week left in session, I'm trying to think of the right way to express that. I would have preferred it happen sooner, put it that way. I think the 2,000-foot rule has some significant challenges, and that the safe zones appeared in other states to be something we definitely need to seriously look at, because I think they do protect our kids.
Do you think the proposal actually weakens what we have right now?
It appears to me the proposal, as I understand it, I think the line that the working group that put this together, they keep talking about being safer or stronger, tougher, safer. And from what I can tell, I think that's accurate. And the discussion seems to revolve around the changes in the 2,000-foot rule. Doesn't seem to be any massive objections to the other components, at least as we understand them right now.
The discussions we've had in our caucus center around, we want to do absolutely nothing that will weaken the current state of the law. We want our children to be protected, and anything that we can do to strengthen those protections, we want to do. We recognize that we don't have a great deal of time left. We think the public should have been involved in this sooner, or at least there been more transparency. But that said, we will give a very, very hard look at this, and if it's good for Iowa families and Iowa children, we will be supportive of that.
What do your local law enforcement folks tell you? They're one of the driving forces behind it.
I've not talked to any of my local law enforcement folks. I've had, I believe, one email from a county sheriff who was supportive or asked me to support the current law. I need to call him back today and visit with him.
Make no mistake, the constituency groups that have engaged on this proposal, again, as they understand it, and they may understand it even better than I do, are supportive. And they think it does improve the law. The constituency group, however, that we directly represent hasn't necessarily had an opportunity to engage on it, and that's Iowans. If we move forward, my understanding is there'll be a public hearing, there'll be opportunities. Nothing's going to happen with it this week, so that members have a chance to talk to folks back home. All of that is good. The question is just whether or not we've shortened the timeline such that it makes it too big a lift here right at the end. But the constituency groups that you ask about, the sheriffs, county attorneys, I mean, my understanding is they're absolutely on board. It's never too late for a public hearing.
If the proposal is supported by victim groups, prosecutors, and police, why are you fighting? Who are your members fighting?
I think the members, my members clearly want, and I think an opportunity to make sure they have a thoughtful dialogue with the people they directly represent.
I think there's some misinformation out there. All these advocacy groups are saying, listen, it actually makes our kids less safe. Resources are being diverted. Do you think the public is misinformed on this issue?
I don't know whether they're misinformed. I guess the point is that we need to make sure they're correctly informed. And Iowans, we passed a 2,000-foot rule, 8, 9 years ago, whenever it was. We sold it to Iowans that it was going to make them safer. Iowans have gone out and purchased homes within 2,000 feet of a school for that exact reason, to give those folks an opportunity or others that are similarly situated. They need an opportunity to understand what's going on. I don't know. I can tell you nobody's called from the president's office inviting me over for anything in particular. Maybe that'll happen. So I don't know that my schedule changes dramatically. I don't know the answer to that. What else?
Any other little bills you're hoping to see go through before the end session?
Say it again.
Any other smaller bills you're hoping to see go through before the end session?
We're just going to keep working on the calendar. My bigger interest right now is making sure that, we don't pass federal deductibility or raise taxes on Iowans, that we don't all of a sudden find ourselves in prevailing wage, which is, again, is another tax increase on a property tax increase on Iowans, on and on and on. I know that I have several members who continue to working on things, and obviously I want to support those efforts.
The only thing I would add in general is that we have seen the last couple of weeks the public speak. It isn't just Republicans. It's Republicans, independents, and Democrats, and people who are not involved politically at all. And the public is absolutely outraged at what is or isn't happening in their government. They feel disenfranchised. They feel that there's not appropriate openness or transparency in government. There is runaway spending, the economy is in poor shape, and yet we continue to spend at unprecedented levels, as Representative Paulson pointed out. It's little wonder that people are coming to the Capitol to the tune of 1,000 to 3,000, depending upon who makes the estimation, but people are extremely upset, as well they should be. Government is out of control. And I think that's one of the reasons that you see the Democrats backing off some of these bills, which are as far left-leaning as any being proposed anywhere in the United States. The public has spoken, and they have spoken loudly. And I think that's why you will see some of these projects that were touted so loudly throughout session beginning to fall by the wayside. Well, the motion to reconsider was a parliamentary move which keeps this alive, at least the nominee to whom the motion was filed on, alive until sine die. But I think the main point there again is that Republicans have done the responsible thing. We're looking out for the interests of Iowans. We believe government needs to be more open, more transparent, not less so. And that's why we did what we did yesterday.
So do you guess I'll nominate confirmation can still be taken up again despite yesterday's deadline?
They can do whatever they want with that. But I think we spoke loudly and clearly yesterday, and we are getting an awfully lot of affirmative information from people in the field. Well, I think it's the success of the citizens of Iowa speaking out and saying, look, this stuff does not comport with Iowa values. We do not want to hand a $750 million spending bill debt to our kids and our grandkids. I don't care if it's $700 million or $750 million. It is irresponsible, and by an overwhelming majority, Iowans have indicated they do not want to do this. I think that's one of the reasons you will probably see, I hope, some backsliding on that issue by the governor and by some of the Democrats. I think you're seeing some of the labor legislation. Iowans understand this will kill jobs. It absolutely will kill jobs in Iowa at a time when we need them most. When you look at the tax issue, the federal deductibility, you know, give me a break. That's a tax cut for Iowans. You can package it any way you want, but it is a tax increase, and it will kill jobs for small business. And that is the engine of growth in this state. Iowans are beginning to speak out. They're seeing the details, and they don't like what they see. It's uncomfortable for our colleagues at the other end of the hall, but it is a reality.
And I would absolutely agree with that. I mean, you look at the issues, whether they be, look at some of them that didn't get much attention. Fair share was a campaign issue. Iowans engaged during the campaign, and even the Democrats, some of whom got elected, had to say they wouldn't support that when they got down here. So it was really almost a non-starter. Hopefully it ends up being a non-starter for next year. Hopefully it doesn't come up close here. Prevailing wage, Iowans engaged, intensely while that was going on. Federal deductibility, they've now been engaging for 2 weeks. I mean, it is proof positive that being involved in your state government and the legislative process, Iowans can make a difference.
Do you think the speaker's going to get his 51st vote on federal deductibility?
I am treating it right now as if he's going to, yes. But obviously, I hope he does not. I'm not going to. Anything?
So, without discussion or amendment in the Senate, after a 15-20 minute secret caucus, and both Republicans and Democrats went to caucus, so I keep hearing about open government. What are you going to do?
Yeah, and
committee caucuses, for instance.
I mean,
that'd be a wonderful start.
We've talked about caucuses before, and I don't see that changing in the short term.
Well, it certainly has changed from previous practice. Once upon a time, they argued in committee. Now everybody has to go to caucus first. That's a tremendous move away from open government in the last 5, 6, 7 years. And any reporter here who's been up here several years can tell you that. So is that something that you will, and if you were in charge of this place, would you say to committee chairs, you will not hold caucuses, you will debate the people's business in public, on time? That would be a wonderful change for openness. Will you do that?
We will debate that. If I was running the place, we would absolutely have those debates. I mean, what we've done, we've tried to create more accountability through some of the transparency proposals. I don't
worry about openness. I see far more secret meetings taking place up here than I did 10, 11 years ago. Somebody in leadership has to put their foot down and tell committee chairs, you will not hold secret caucuses, you will debate this stuff in public, even if your members are a little uncomfortable with it.
And I think there's several issues
and
this year.
You do that. If you run in the place, will you tell your committee chairs, no caucuses, you're going to have a committee meeting in public and debate it in public?
And I think what you're seeing this year is several different proposals are struggling because they weren't dealt with openness.
I agree, but my point is I already know what the Democrats will do because they're letting people go to secret caucuses. I mean, if you're running the place, will you tell your committee chairs, don't hold caucuses, debate the bills in public?
You know, those are hypotheticals. If your question is, I think this place is too closed and not open enough to Iowans, it absolutely is. If you're asking me for some specific order, I would give committee chairs. I'm not in a position to do that today.
Well, of course you're not. You're not in charge, but you're talking about openness. If you were in charge, would you do that? If you were in charge, would you say, hey, come on, you guys, you got to hold committee meetings in public, not in caucus?
Well, committee meetings absolutely have to be held in public.
Well, believe me, they go to caucus virtually every committee meeting anymore, and they hold the committee meeting in caucus, and then they come back and ratify whatever they've done. Sometimes they don't even talk about it.
Let me tell you what I do in the interest of honesty and openness. If I had an employee and I were in charge and they lied to anybody, I'd fire them immediately.
Okay.
If they misled somebody, I would get rid of them. I would not tolerate dishonesty.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. We're very happy I guess everybody knows, President Obama's coming to Newton next week. To talk about wind energy, and we're very pleased to see where Iowa is in wind energy, number one state in the nation. The last few years been creating jobs, renewable energy, renewable fuels. Last night in the Senate, we passed a B5 requirement in Iowa, the first renewable fuel standard passed in the state. That is designed to keep the 600 jobs that's out there now in these plants across the state and the other 12,000 jobs that are connected to this industry and reduce buying foreign oil from countries that don't like us. And we've passed a lot of veterans' bills here in the last two or three years to help those veterans that's coming back from Saudi Arabia or Iraq primarily. And it's time to get over this kick of subsidizing foreign oil with American dollars and start fueling our country and our state with homegrown fuels. So it's wonderful in my district, Mid-America, just finished 175 windmills and the president's going to be here to talk about wind, and that's wonderful that Iowa's on the map in renewable fuels.
Thank you, President Kivi. I'm Donovan Olson, state representative from Boone. I think this is going to be a good year for wind energy. Iowa, as you know, is second in the nation in wind energy, and we like to think that we're going to continue down that road to expanding that as an opportunity for Iowans, not only for jobs, but increase the amount of energy generated from renewable sources. My wife was at dinner the other night with a lady from out of state, and she couldn't understand why Iowa was such a great place to develop wind energy, because she's seen all these wind towers across the state. And I think the first thing about wind energy that's attractive for these developers is that we don't have that not in my backyard concept with Iowans. Iowans embrace wind energy, and they're looking to us, the legislature, for solutions. Towards that goal, we've worked on a couple of bills in both the House and the Senate that are working towards passage. One bill reshuffles the existing tax credits that we have. In 2004, we authorized a number of tax credits for the development of wind energy in Code Sections 476B and 476C. Basically, 476B is the large wind energy section, has language that goes to large wind projects. 476C is for smaller size projects. And what we've done in those this bill is we've reshuffled those tax credits to make them available. Some of them are prescribed for projects that may not happen. So we're going to clean up the list and allow those to be available to projects that are on the drawing board that are ready to be developed. The other thing that we've done in that bill is we've expanded it to schools, public and private schools and universities, if they're going to generate energy for their own uses, can access those tax credits, and that'll encourage the expansion of wind energy in schools across the state. The other bill that passed, and I believe it just passed in the Senate committee today, the Environment Committee, is small wind innovation zones. So the bill I just talked about helps small and medium and large size projects. This is very small projects that individuals want to put up on their farms. I've learned over the last couple of years that individuals have tried to develop these projects, but there are a lot of roadblocks in the way. Those roadblocks include there's no provision in their zoning code. There's interconnect agreements that don't allow them to easily access the grid to sell back their power to the energy companies. So this bill is a voluntary mechanism, creates a voluntary mechanism for communities to create a wind innovation zone. It develops model interconnection agreements and model ordinances for a community that desires to create a zone to adopt. The other thing it does is it creates an expedited process so we can move those projects forward quite quickly. So I think at the end of the day, when we pass these bills, we'll have a good system of incentives for large, medium, and small wind energy projects, and we'll see a lot more growth in those areas in the upcoming years.
The small wind innovation zones now, you changed some of the language in tax credits yesterday, but there's still tax credits that people using in those zones can qualify for?
Right. What we've done is the original bill went to 475, 476B because that was where there were credits available. But with the prior bill that I talked about, the reshuffling of the tax credits, we've changed the wind innovation zone so it accesses the small wind credits, which is where it should have been in the first place. And that's actually a little bit more lucrative for them. It'll set more small projects. I'm sorry?
1.5 cents.
Right.
Okay.
Tax credit, yes. Mm-hmm. It's a political subdivision. So anything that qualifies as a political subdivision, it's lots of things: cities, counties, school districts.
Great. Well, good morning, Roger Thomas from Elkader, Chair of the Economic Growth Committee. I just wanted to review a couple of the items that we did yesterday in the House and even in the Ways and Means Committee last night. Of course, if you were present yesterday in the Iowa House, we passed a pretty significant Iowa Film Bill legislation that will truly incent actually bricks and mortar facilities here in this state. They will no doubt be doing feature film, and of course, any location across the state will be able to take advantage of some of the incentives that are here, whether they're and most of them have to be an Iowa-based business or an Iowa resident. Last night in the Ways and Means Committee, one of the things that the Department of Economic Development we've been talking about is data centers. If you remember, Google and came into Council Bluffs, and Microsoft is still indicating that they will be here in Des Moines soon. But data centers seem to be what's really coming to the bubbling to the top. What this legislation will do is an investment of $5 million. $500 million to 200. I'm sorry. Let me start over. $5 million to about $170 million, and then it gets on up to the Google size where it was $200 million plus. What this will do is say if there's a medical center large enough that, you know, we have around here will be able to create these data centers and make a minimal investment of that the dollar amounts that I indicated. And the job creation looks very good. The department told me this morning when I was there they've got about 11 companies that are interested in looking at Iowa since we've introduced the bill. Currently there were about five that they were in strong negotiations with, and they are, a lot of them are major companies. And of course we have historic tax credits that we'll be doing in the House today. What that does is takes us from a $20 million cap to a $50 million cap. And that's, to me, I look at that as a true job stimulus piece of legislation. It gets the local investors engaged, it gets the local developers engaged, and it can happen anywhere across the state. So those are a couple of the major pieces that that I think you'll find that even though Iowa's in the country's maybe seems to be in a downturn, I'm very optimistic. I was at the department this morning for their DED meeting. There continues to be a lot of activity that the department's doing as far as recruiting companies. In fact, I watched a five-minute film that they had produced that they will be using to market, I believe, the first one that they're doing is maybe on Fox Network. It had Brian Gumbel as the lead on it, and I can't remember the name of the show. But the department continues to market Iowa, and I know they're on several marketing campaigns across the United States here within the next few months.
I'm here to talk about Sunshine, which we've been talking about for the last 3 years. There has been a lot of effort put into updating the open records, open meetings chapters of our code that were written 30 years ago. And so there was an interim committee that met and did extensive work. There was work that was done last year and didn't make it out as legislation, so we began again this year and have had a multitude of meetings. Some of you I've seen at the table at some of those meetings. And we hope to take up in the House today the bill that will clarify and extend some of the policies and provisions on open meetings and open records. We had hoped to create an enforcement agency, but because of the dollar constraints, we are going to have an advisory committee that will be appointed. Some of the issues that we could not come to resolution on or that were complicated and we just couldn't get to a good place in terms of figuring out solutions to these problems will be their charge to look at. They are going to be charged with making sure that training happens. Training will happen for all government agencies on an annual basis, and all new hires will have to get training. There will be education for the public so that they understand what access is supposed to be. They will also look at some of these problem areas that have been identified in the past in terms of meetings and access to records. They are to meet three times, once during session, and come back to report to the legislature. Hopefully they will continue to work with the state government committee so that next year we can bring them in and see how far they've come on these issues so that they can suggest legislation to us so we continue to work on this. This bill is not going to make everyone happy, and I think it shouldn't. This is going to be a fluid, continuing process. We've had it for 30 years, and obviously it didn't address all of the problems, and it won't last another 30 years. We're going to have to keep working on it. So I think with that in mind, that we want to continue to be open. We want to give access. There are problems and hurdles that don't allow that to happen, so we are going to continue working to see that those hurdles are removed.
Questions? Vicki, there's some folks who say that the best thing that can happen to this bill is to send it over to the Senate and put it on hold until next year when you can create an enforcement mechanism, that without that, it really does nothing.
Well, I would disagree with that. I think some of these policies need to be updated and changed, and we've tried to address that. There is no guarantee that the budget is going to be any better next year or the year after. So I think waiting would not be helpful to anyone. We want to increase the openness. We want to increase the access. If they can help us work through some of these other policy measures, it may not be the end all, but it gets us forward in terms of letting the public get to meetings, get to records, and to understand how government functions. So I think to do nothing would be a mistake.
So the Republicans just indicated to us, Senator Johnson, Speaker, that they feel a lot of your big ticket priorities that you sort of trumpeted for this session are falling by the wayside because the public is understanding what's going on and is angry, and that's why is diminished.
And what was the question?
Your response. I mean,
look.
It is a public backlash threatening bonding, federal deductibility, some of your other priorities.
Look, I continue to believe we'll get a bonding bill through this session of the legislature. I think there are disaster-ravaged communities in this state that need our help. And we're going to step up and help those communities, and that makes sense, I think, to the vast majority of all Iowans. On some of their other issues, I'm actually a little surprised Republicans in the legislature are against tax cuts. What a difference being in the minority makes. They're against tax cuts. We have a very modest proposal out there to provide tax cuts to Iowans in the middle class, Iowans that pay more than their fair share now. And this effort corrects that a bit. I'm surprised Republicans are against it. We'll see how that shakes out.
Can you give us an indication of your exit plan? What bills will we see move forward? What's
My plan was to adjourn April 2nd. My plan's to adjourn today. We'll probably see how that goes as well. Listen, we're going to get the work done we need to get done. And then we're going to get out of here as quickly as possible. So that work includes everything that we can get enough votes to pass. So we got to pass a budget. We're working on that. I am confident we will get a bonding bill, and there are a number of other issues that we may in fact find consensus on and pass. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do our jobs. We're going to do our jobs.
I would just add this: we said three things at the beginning of the session. We were going to focus on one, rebuilding disaster-affected communities. Number two, see what we could do to help middle-class families by creating jobs. And thirdly, balancing the budget. Some of the things we talked about today tie into that with job creation, trying to make sure we have openness so middle-class families know what we're doing up here. And then along with that, doing whatever we can to balance the budget. And we're not gonna leave till we get all those things done. And there's other things that we will stress as priorities, but those were our priorities on day one, and they'll be on the day that the gavel drops for the last time. At this point, we're looking at, we're not going to comment on that, but there's no question that the legislature deals with any of those issues. We're going to be creating a law that's stronger, tougher, and safer for our communities and for our families. And we're not going to comment any further on anything dealing with sex offenders or any other part of that until we know that we can get a bill that can get passed and get signed.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see it yet this week, but next week. We're continuing to work with the executive branch, and we're working with the House. The House is working with us, and we're both working with the executive branch.
You say that you're not going to comment on a proposed provision of the Secretary of Law. Republicans just told us that one of the problems this proposal faces is it's been developing. They're not going to public debate about it, and the biggest hurdle faces is having some kind of public debate. Why do you want to talk about this in public?
If we have a bill, there will be openness to it. We will have a public hearing, and we will get public input. There are some things around here that, in order to get things done, you have to first work with legislators from both parties to make sure that you have something that gets done and can get signed. So we're going to proceed with this, and if we can put something together, we will not adjourn until we can get it done. And it will have a public hearing. There, you will have the opportunity to sit in the galleries. Hopefully we won't have any distractions in the galleries this time, but you'll be able to sit there, hopefully hear public input from both sides on this, and have a regular public hearing that we had like back in February, not like in late March, early April.
And what if local officials ask for the same sort of authority to operate the secret that the legislature has rather than the openness that he's talking about?
We are not going to do anything in secret.
But you don't want to talk about it?
We haven't done anything. When we do something, it will be done in public. We haven't done anything yet. We haven't made that decision. We haven't crossed that bridge. Once we make that decision, the bill will go through a subcommittee, a full committee, the floor, and the same process on the other side, and it will also have a public hearing. We're not doing anything in secret. No, you can get a leadership bill that's exempt from the funnel.
On the two wind energy bills that the House sent over, do you intend to pass those before President Obama comes in? Do you have this?
We did not put our schedule together based on the president. President coming to the community. We intend to pass. The Senate intends to pass every piece of legislation that there's consensus on as quickly as possible. We're trying to adjourn. Okay, so if there's consensus amongst my Senate players on those issues, we'll move them forward. If there isn't, they will be in touch with these guys, they'll work out their differences, and then we'll pass the bills.
The motion to reconsider you filed on guest house confirmation, are you expecting things to change? Are you planning to bring that up again?
One would hope Republicans would come to their senses, but, hope is fading.
School dropout age, is that still on the table? Increasing that to...
It's still on the table. It's still on the calendar. But quite frankly, we're going to focus on the bills that we can get done. Right now, I'm not very optimistic.
Long shot.
Yeah, it's a long shot at this point. I think we're more focused on issues like we still want to see if we can do private cause of action, and it still goes back to the same things. Focusing on the budget, doing what we can do to help affect disaster-affected communities, and creating jobs. Those really are our focuses. That's our focus over the next, hopefully, week or 8 days when we finish.
What about the
5 days. 5 days.
We will give that a very strong look on our side. We feel as if we can get we are focused on renewable fuels, and I think this fits that category, so we will definitely be taking a look at it and hopefully be getting some bipartisan support to do that bill.
How close are you bringing federal debt for the
Very.
Yeah, very
so
close.
It's within one vote. It's still within one vote?
Yes.
How about instead, 26 votes?
Pardon me?
Yeah, 26 votes for federal debt. For
yes. No. Mine shut us down for a couple hours.
What's the plan for, are we here tomorrow, or is...
At this point, I think we, for at least the House side, I'm not going to speak for the Senate, but on the House side, our goal is to get done what bills we can this week, and right now I think we will be here on Friday. Yeah.
But your plan is to do the deductibility, to do a bonding bill, a public hearing on the sex offender, for a while for Obama, and still get adjourned next week?
I would say I don't think it's impossible to get done Tuesday night.
How much to throw overboard to get
there? I don't throw things overboard. When you've got consensus, you move forward. If on Tuesday night people haven't found consensus on a set of issues yet, it's starting to look pretty bleak for them at that point. So I'm interested in having us get done. Pass everything that's available to me as quickly as possible. Let me be fair. I do not expect us to meet tomorrow. I've not yet announced that to our members. I intend to go to a funeral tomorrow. So.